always interesting and sometimes intriguing, Kenny Wallace drops by today. Plus, we take an in-depth look at the new rules NASCAR has in store for 2025. That's what we've got today here on Fast Talk.
It's Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network, presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. Sunoco. Whether you're headed to the track or just hitting the road, fill up with Sunoco Ultratech. Now here's your host for Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Welcome to the show. Glad you're making time to be a part of this Fast Talk edition. Let's start off on a positive note. The Daytona 500, the 67th running of the Daytona 500, is officially sold out. So if you were planning to go to Daytona to catch all the action of the 500 and you have not bought tickets yet, welcome to the secondary market. You and your wallet can go over there and have a big time, Alexis.
Yeah, you know, look, it's always a great thing when, you know, races are sold out. Daytona 500 sold out. The Clash has been sold out for months and months and months. Yep. So the first two races of the season sold out. I think that's a fantastic trend that hopefully will continue well on into the season.
And Brad, I know you'll be down in Daytona prior to the 500. It just adds a level of excitement knowing that there's going to be a clamor for people to try to get the last few tickets that are out there, like I said, on the secondary market.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think it's great. Look, this is what they call the Super Bowl of motorsports, the Daytona 500, our biggest race of the year in terms of prestige and all of that. So, yes, it should be sold out. It should be sold out more than a month ahead of time. I love the fact that they've announced it. They've made a big deal. But guess what? The Daytona 500 is not the only race happening during Speed Week. So if you want to go down there and see Xfinity Racing or Crashfin Truck Racing or Duels or whatever, I'm sure you can still find plenty of tickets for that. So don't let the fact that the Daytona 500 grandstands are sold out discourage you from going to Daytona. There's still plenty of opportunity.
And if you go down there, there will always be people hanging around on the sidewalk trying to sell you a ticket. Now, what kind of price you're going to get, I have no idea, but it's worth a shot if you're that desperate to go to the 500. But congrats to Daytona. Glad that they sold out. That speaks volumes about the health of the sport to kick off the season. Guys, since we last met, NASCAR came out with a new rules bulletin. Usually these are boring and omnipresent and they're barely worth a look. The last one that we got, Brad, was anything but boring. There's a lot of meat in this latest NASCAR rules update. First off, with the open exemption provisional that they announced last week.
I love this. I love this idea. Now, just a quick explanation of the rule. Say Elio Castroneves running the Daytona 500. If they had applied in time or if they were able to, however that works out for a provisional, should Elio Castroneves in the Project 91 car, a world-class driver, a four-time Indianapolis 500 winner, you know, all of those things want to go race, NASCAR has a mechanism for them to be guaranteed an entry into the race. Now, what this does not do is take away a spot from another driver. Now, if Elio qualifies his way in, maybe he gets a front row starting spot on pole day, maybe he races his way in through the duels, well, then he's in. He's in based on how you get into a race. Should he not make it that way with this provisional, it would add a 41st car to the Daytona 500, and you would have a guarantee of a big story like an Elio Castroneves being able to run in the Great American Race. I think it's a cool thing that they've done.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome, too. We talked about it before the show started, and I think one of the biggest benefits that I can see is just the fact that when you have someone like an Elio Castroneves racing in such a big event as the Daytona 500, it's going to bring massive amounts of eyeballs that maybe otherwise wouldn't be watching the Daytona 500 from, you know, fans of his, fans that follow him and his career, but maybe aren't that big fans of stock car racing. And it'll bring their eyeballs over to what we do and hopefully convert them into fans as well. So I think it's great. If he does get in on that provisional, he forfeits some things. You know, he gets that starting spot, but should, you know, he win the race, he doesn't get prize money. He does not get playoffs points or anything of that nature. He basically gets his name in the record books and a trophy, and also the chance to race in the biggest race of the season. So I think it's a win-win for everybody.
So there's a lot of other aspects to this, but just on the surface, Elio's already been approved.
He has.
Apparently they knew 90 days in advance and got out ahead of this bulletin. Somebody whispered in their ear, hey, get this in. So Elio will be in the Daytona 500. Let's be specific to that one, Alexis. And Brad, the same question for you. What do you think about that? Are you excited to see a four-time Indianapolis 500 winner take on NASCAR's most prestigious race?
Absolutely, 1,000%. I mean, you and I have had the pleasure of being around Elio in a capacity where he is just being him outside of the race car, and he is such a huge personality, and he brings so much of that to everything that he does that I think having him involved in anything we do is a major, major plus.
Yeah, I would agree. Look, when it comes to drafting, Elio has run IROC races at Speedway events before. He has a little bit of stock car experience doing that. But also, you go back to his IndyCar days. He's also a four-time winner at Texas Motor Speedway. And tracks like Texas, the old Chicagoland, Kansas Speedway for IndyCar, those might as well have been Daytona, Talladega, and now Atlanta-type tracks with drafting. He's familiar with how to maneuver around the air. Oh, let's also not forget that when it comes to the high banks of Daytona, at least, Elio has plenty of experience there as well as a winner of the Rolex 24 Hours event and so many other things that he has done. He has an incredible racing resume. And to Alexis' point, Elio is just simply a great guy, a wonderful human being, and a great person to have around. It's nice to know he'll be guaranteed a spot into the Daytona 500.
So Trackhouse will have four different cars in the Daytona 500 representing four different countries. Elio Castroneves, Brazil. Daniel Suarez, Mexico. Shane Van Gisbergen, New Zealand, and Ross Chastain, Florida.
I love that. I really do. We've talked about...
I got no response out of Florida.
Well,
I feel
Florida.
Like it's its own country.
It is. Yes, sure. Absolutely.
A Florida man.
Absolutely. A Florida man is going to enter the Daytona 500. Yes, I think... you know, that kind of diversity, we've talked about it on this show. I think that kind of diversity is what's going to help grow our fan base. So I think it's great.
We're going to get bonus time with Kenny Wallace right now. He's nice enough to join us for the show today. And Kenny, I was up in the night watching one of your YouTube videos about this very subject. Your thoughts about, let's be specific, not about the whole open exemption provisional, but about Elio being in the 500.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think it's got a lot of tentacles, as I would say. Everybody loves him because he's so nice. But, you know, it's kind of like Denny Hamlin comes on social media and he says, laugh out loud. Okay. From the guys in the garage area, you know, they've been told all these years, you got to qualify. This is a big boy sport. How dare you get put in because you're famous? Or, you know, I mean, that was the thought process, right? But I got to tell you, I think it's a little bit more than just, you know, a world-class driver. The way I look at it, and I tend to read between the lines, I think you got Fox Sports, who is now covering the IndyCar series, and they are, you know, doing the Indy 500. And I think this is a beautiful time for cross promotion. You know, so you see what I'm saying? There's a lot of different ideals out there. And like Mike Helton and everybody at NASCAR says, if you're wondering, just come ask us. So I'd love to sit down, have a beer with Big Mike because he's my go-to guy. I mean, even Steve Phelps, he's a little more buttoned up. But I just see all good. But I also see the guys in the garage area. You know, damn it, you've made us suffer all these years. We got to qualify. You know, if you don't make the race, well, that's it. You're out. So here comes, you know, the first benefactory is Helio. And like I said, nobody dislikes him. Four-time Indy 500 winner, like you all have said. Three-time, you know, Daytona 24-hour winner. Dancing with the Stars. Here, this guy's going to be 50 in May. He's 49 years old, but he walks around like he's 36. So, but I see nothing but good. And I see cross promotion with, you know, Kyle Larson going to run the Indy 500 on Fox. So I think it's a win-win for auto racing.
All right. So Kenny Wallace, you can catch his act on YouTube. Go over there. We're going to talk about Kenny as an entrepreneur here shortly. There are like many Kenny Wallaces. One of them is the media star, Kenny Wallace.
Which we all know and love,
yeah,
absolutely.
And the other one's, you know, the dirt track guy that's out there running around at 60 still winning races. We'll continue with Fast Talk right after this timeout.
For anyone who's worried about back taxes, has not filed tax returns, and doesn't know what to do next, stop and listen. Not filing your taxes can have severe consequences, especially in this political climate. Now that COVID is over, the IRS is getting aggressive, massively increasing enforcement and collection efforts. With politicians making all sorts of promises, especially when it comes to taxes, hiding and not dealing with your taxes will cause you harsh legal and financial ramifications. But right now, the IRS offers forgiveness and writes off a massive amount of tax debt. The Tax Doctor offers a free service that helps people get out of IRS collections and back in good standing with the government. Don't hide or bury your head in the sand. Take advantage of our free service. Call now to learn more. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. That's 800-393-5045.
I'm Chase Elliott, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Time to pull down on the handle and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway.
Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack.
Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside. And now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side. They get loose. They spin. Now Tyler Reddick does a 360. So does Briscoe.
Heading into turn number seven as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
It's Fast Talk here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. I'm Doug Rice, joined in studio by Alexis Erickson via remote from Texas is Brad Gilley and Kenny Wallace from Parts Unknown. Where are your parts known right now, Kenny? Where are you?
I am in St. Louis, Missouri, actually 17 miles south of St. Louis, down Interstate 55 from the Arch, 17 miles, Arnold, Missouri, and hey, thanks for having me on. Man, when I hear those jingles and your guys' voice calling those races, it just makes me happy.
Well, we're glad to make you happy, Kenny. You and I have known each other for a long time, and we're really pleased you're taking some time to come on the show. You're very uber busy in the media world. For folks that are uninitiated, tell us what all that you've got going along in the social media environment right now.
Well, I moved back to St. Louis, you know, about 7 years ago, because that was always the plan. And a friend of mine that worked for a local channel here in St. Louis, Channel 2, his name is Charlie Marlowe. Charlie saw me doing what is now Coffee with Kenny. During COVID, I would just pull my phone out in the morning and give my current affairs, what's up? It was more like a diary. I was just getting it off my chest, putting it on social media. So Charlie Marlowe said, hey, Kenny, I'm going to quit Channel 2. Let me start you a YouTube channel. And then I'm also going to get into some real estate. And I said, no. And then a couple months later, I said, okay. And he's like, just give me your Coffee with Kenny. And at that time, it wasn't even called Coffee with Kenny. So Doug, I really owe all this to Charlie Marlowe. Charlie, he's got great editing skills because, he worked for a TV station. So he knows how to work that computer. So that was that, right? Well, then Dale Earnhardt Jr. calls me. I look at my phone. He's calling me, not texting me. So I answer it, and he's got Mike Davis on the other line. And it was funny. Dale Jr. says, you're kicking our butt. I'm like, I am not. But anyway, they wanted a little bit of the Herminator. So we were able to work out a collaboration. And that means we've started the Herman Schrader Show on the Dirty Mo Media platform once a week, where Kenny Schrader and myself, we talk about racing, but we talk about NASCAR and dirt, bring in the dirt racing fans, tell a story, try to talk about current affairs as long as it doesn't involve politics, because Dale Jr. said, we don't talk politics. I said, okay, big rule. And, you know, then they're taking my, then Dirty Mo Media says, I want your Kenny conversations so they can put on their podcast. And I learned a lot about this journey. So my YouTube stuff, where you can see us, is way different than podcast. And so we're just having fun with it. And it kind of grew by itself.
You know, Kenny, I'm curious. You mentioned that you started doing your, what is now called Coffee with Kenny during COVID. You would just get on and start, you know, chatting with social media. Was that kind of a need to connect with people during COVID? And then, you know, subsequent to that, like, how has it been being so close to the fans and them reacting? Because it's not just a one-way conversation on social media. It is definitely a two-way conversation.
Yes, great question. And in percentage-wise, and I mean this truly, real percentage-wise, you're going to have our analytics, you know, because Charlie has all this, right? Just like you all do. 95 to 98% of the people, they're having fun with me, and that's important. And they're commenting, and our views and subscribers are fantastic. But they view me as being different. And we've listen, I think Doug and Brad, they know me well enough. There's two or three of me. There's the entertainer, where I talk with the fans. I respond to them. And then there's the serious guy, you know, in the garage area at the NASCAR races all those years. And then there's the third one, who is the dad, making sure my kids are good and I'm paying taxes and taking the trash out. So there really is three of me. And I enjoy responding to the fans. It's kind of a hobby for me. I was born that way. I admit I'm a little off-centered. I do seek attention, but so did Darrell Waltrip. Darrell Waltrip, you know, he always joked, look at me, damn it. So I can turn it off if I have to. If I'm busy racing my dirt car, then that's what I'm going to do. But that's a great question. And the fans do communicate with me. And I feel in the mornings to respond to them for about an hour. And then about 10:30, I'm ready to go up the shop and get working on my race car.
Kenny, I know your beautiful wife, Kim, has been putting up with you since high school. And yes. It always cracks me up sometimes. Some of the times when you actually get her and embarrass her, but I can't help but wonder when I see you walk out on the back porch with a cup of coffee in your hand, if sometimes she's just not, are you done yet? What's the home life like?
Well, you guys ask great questions, I think, because you know me. So our bedroom, you can look out the window and see the swimming pool right away. And she's like, I hear you out there every morning doing that Coffee with Kenny. But, you know, this whole situation where I moved back to St. Louis and I was, you know, going to have fun, you know, running my dirt car, going to watch the baseball Cardinals and, you know, the Blues for hockey. It lasted only so long to where it's like, oh, my gosh. Okay, Marcus Smith called. You know, Brian Hammond, now I've agreed to go back to the NASCAR tracks for Trackside Live. Now I'm doing these, you know, this whole social media, as you know, Brad, it just fell right in my lap. And Kim has went with it, to answer your question, because she does things. You know, she has an incredible craft show that has turned out crazy successful. And she looks at me, will you please help me promote my craft show? I'm like, oh, you do like my social media. So she's definitely super mature, you know, born a Catholic, straight A's in school, and opposites attract, no doubt, because I'm crazy, off-centered, ready to go, and she's super mature, and thank God that I met my wife, because I would have probably been put in jail a long time ago.
Well, all of us are glad that you're not behind bars as we speak to you now, Kenny. That's reassuring. I'm glad this is not your one phone call for the week. We're going to take a break, but I do, when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about your Trackside Live show that you're going to be doing at the SMI Tracks, and about your brother Mike Wallace attempting a comeback at age 65, and whatever else crosses our fertile minds between now and about 2 minutes from right now.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Headed to Las Vegas Motor Speedway in March to enjoy great NASCAR racing? Then make your reservations now to stay at the South Point Hotel and Casino. The South Point has great race weekend ticket and room packages. Plus, they have a great variety of dining experiences and a world-class spa. Stay where the racers stay. The South Point Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Visit southpointcasino.com and book your springtime getaway today.
I'm Eric Jones, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, it's PRN's Brad Gilley. Did you know you could take PRN with you anywhere? That's right. By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. Download today for station listings and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, The Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Hey, I'm Corley Joy for Speedway Children's Charities. The mission for Speedway Children's Charities has remained true since its founding almost 40 years ago, to care for children in educational, financial, social, and medical needs in order to help them lead happy and productive lives. So many children have benefited from our group in the past, but we need your help now more than ever. There's so much we can do when we all join together, so let's start today. Visit speedwaycharities.org to learn more. I thank you in advance for your help.
Our guest here on Fast Talk is Kenny Wallace. And Kenny, I got to admit, for folks, if you're listening to us, we can see Kenny. He's on a Zoom call with us, and so we can all kind of interact with each other. Alexis, what did I tell you during the break?
Doug looked over at me. He goes, I hope Kenny's not frozen. He looks like he might be frozen. And then we saw you blink, and we knew you were still there.
That is my Tourette's. So people say, you have Tourette's? I'm like, just watch me long enough. You know, I blink. I'll do something like this, you know, where I do my head. I don't have bad Tourette's, but I think I put on my Instagram. I said, I have ADD, Tourette's, I'm hyperactive. Besides that, I'm all good. Hey, let me tell you something. I have talks with myself. I'm like, Kenny, will you please shut up? You know, it is exhausting being me.
Have you ever convinced yourself to shut up?
Oh, we have talks. Hey, quick story. You know, I lived obviously in Concord, North Carolina for 27 years. We all know this. And I've been inside the PRN studios with you. But, you know, we'd go to these black tie affairs during, you know, the Charlotte, you know, Speed Week. And back then it was Speed Weeks, right? The All-Star Race, yeah. You know, the 600. So you'd go downtown and Marcus Smith, you know, you put on the black tie, you do the, you know, go in there. And I was walking in with Michael Waltrip and I said, Mikey, because he knows me, we're both messed up, right? And I said, Mikey, I said, I'm not gonna talk. I'm gonna stay real calm this time. And he looked at me and says, well, you might as well not even go in then. I just can't. My plan is this. I plan on being mature and quiet, and then all it takes is somebody to just poke me. You know, here we go. Yep.
Well, hey, go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, Kenny, I'm curious. So this is a big week for dirt racing. Not the same kind of dirt racing that you do with the modifieds and all of that, but Tulsa, Oklahoma has the Chili Bowl. We already saw the shootout a couple of weeks ago, a photo finish with Christopher Bell beating Kyle Larson. Seven Cup drivers are entered into the Chili Bowl. Plus, you can add Alex Bowman, who owns four of the cars in it. Let's talk about where we are with some preseason racing and just how much of a difference maker this is in the entire world of racing.
You guys are racers. I got to tell you, first of all, it's really fun to talk with people that understand racing. I'm used to dealing with people that just, they're like, what car number are you? I'm like, oh, God. Yes, you are 110% right. And this is a great topic right now. You know, what is going on? I think Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell started it back up again. You know, you had Kenny Schrader. You had Tony Stewart come in to NASCAR, and they brought in all the dirt racing. And, you know, it's like, where is the next NASCAR superstars going to come from? You know, for a while, it was Rusty Wallace, Mark Martin, you know, then Dick Trickle came along, and all these guys were coming from asphalt, ASA, ARTCO, you know, all these asphalt short tracks. Now, all of a sudden, we see history repeating itself. Here comes somebody that is wilder than Tony Stewart as far as racing. Now, Kyle Larson does not have the mouth that Tony did, because Tony would tell you what he thinks. Kyle Larson's very calm, but races way more than Tony did. And now Coach Joe Gibbs is allowing Christopher Bell to go back dirt racing. Now we're seeing this phenomenon where Coach Joe Gibbs said, okay, you know, Ty Gibbs. Now Ty Gibbs is running dirt cars. Now Kyle Busch is running dirt cars. So the Chili Bowl is the Daytona 500, Brad. And I mean, it's like you got all the NASCAR media there. You got all the NASCAR drivers there. And then you got the holdouts, you know, guys that Kevin Harvick readily admits, you know, I'm racing with my son, Keelan, but we don't do dirt. So I just really believe now that you saw, we just witnessed, you know, Jeff Gordon and Rick Hendrick sign the 18-year-old phenom, the next, you know, Corey Day. Corey Day is from Wing Sprint Cars. You know, Corey Day is going to be down there. So actually there's another dirt, a NASCAR guy. So to answer your question, I just gave you my opinion, but it looks to me like the NASCAR drivers are now going to come from open wheel, and they're lined up at the pit gate. And boy, there are a lot of them, and their talent is through the roof, Brad.
Well, Kenny, we are so much enjoying this conversation with you. Would you mind staying on for just one more segment?
I love you.
Okay, fantastic. Well, we're going to take it. We love you too. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with more Kenny Wallace.
Look, yo, how do you feel today? Maybe you're a little hungover again, feeling a little embarrassed about a few things? Listen, why haven't you called yet to get help? Man, aren't you tired of feeling this way? So listen, whatever your party drug of choice is, there are ways to get clean and sober, especially if it's messing with your life. Hey man, we all have choices. You can make a choice right here, right now, today, to call the number I'm about to give you and start a brand new life without drugs or booze. I know it's hard to think about this, but imagine how great your life could be. And all it takes is one simple phone call. I've got a team of people standing by ready to check your insurance and let you know what it takes to get clean and sober. Okay, so get ready to save this number, because here it comes.
800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. That's 800-296-1140. Paid for by the Detox Treatment Helpline.
I'm Austin Dillon, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Dale Earnhardt, he's almost been deified. There's a mystique about him that's never been attached to any other driver, including your dad.
I think there's two things. for Dale Earnhardt that make him who he is. He was that guy that your neighbor. I don't care if you live in a mobile home. I don't care if you live in a mansion. He's that guy that was your neighbor. He's the guy that was out in his yard planting his plants. He's the guy that was out there mowing. He's the guy that was out there doing it. He's the guy that drove the truck. He's the guy that got up under the car and changed the gear. He's the guy that put on a uniform and jumped in that car and became your hero on a Sunday afternoon. And you could identify with that. He's really that last guy. And he is, in the words of Tom Wolfe, last great American hero, the book that was written about Junior Johnson. He is that last guy to a lot of people. And he was going to have that following no matter what. It moved to a different level because of what happened at Daytona. Billy Joel, only the good die young. And that's the way you remember it. So I think that moves you to a different place too.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. I'm Alexis Erickson here with Doug Rice and Brad Gilley, and we are thoroughly enjoying our conversation with Kenny Wallace. Kenny, before the break, you were talking about Kyle Larson and all of these great dirt track stars and how we're going to see our next great superstar come from that. I'm curious because you also mentioned Joe Gibbs kind of lifting his moratorium on not letting his drivers run in these dirt series. What do you think was the catalyst for him doing that?
I literally called somebody there. So I had some property in North Carolina, and I sold some property. They ended up buying and being a neighbor of mine, and they are at Joe Gibbs. And so we lived next to each other for years. And I called them and I said, "What changed?" And they said, Ty Gibbs is like, "Grandpa, come on, man." And I really feel like let's put it this way. I feel like it's worth the chance for a NASCAR car owner to make their drivers happy. So if Christopher Bell is sitting at home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and he's bored and he's watching his dirt racing nemesis, we all know that it's Kyle Larson versus Christopher Bell. That's just a given in the dirt racing world. And Brad, I'm looking at you right now. You know that soundbite from Kyle Larson. He says, "I don't like running second to Christopher Bell." So Ty Gibbs is young enough that he's like, "Grandpa, you know, Christopher, our driver, is going to be a lot happier if you just let him race." You know, and I think we're at a point in psychology. You know, Coach Joe Gibbs is a Super Bowl champion, you know, coach, and Coach Joe Gibbs is into psychology. It's just not going to do Christopher Bell any good to be miserable. If he gets hurt, he gets hurt. And these are the things we're going to have to deal with. But as far as wrapping bubble wrap around these guys, I just think it's worth the chance. And I think young Ty Gibbs told Grandpa that. They all kind of piled in. And what they told me was Coach Joe Gibbs said, okay. And you look over here, and the most successful team in NASCAR, which is Rick Hendrick, and, you know, Jeff Gordon came out and said, "Look, we got to let Kyle Larson, we got to let him be Kyle Larson." You know, NASCAR is the biggest form of motorsports in America, but it is incredibly boring if you make these drivers sit around on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in their motor coaches. Let these racers race. If they want to race that bad, let them race, because they're going to be miserable if you don't let them race. So to answer that question, it was a little long, but you know, it's got a lot to do with psychology, and let Christopher be happy. And so follow the Rick Hendrick, Jeff Gordon narrative.
Yeah, I totally get that. And I will say, you know, incredibly insightful. And when you talk about a grandson asking his granddad for something, usually the granddad's going to give in. So I'm not really shocked by that answer one bit. You know, I wanted to also ask you about Trackside Live. Obviously, Trackside Live has a rich history that you were a part of when it was part of Speed Channel. And now it has become part of what Marcus Smith and the folks here at Speedway Motorsports sports bring to the fans every weekend at their racetracks. Can you just talk about how that kind of came to be part of the Speedway Motorsports landscape and how that was brought back from the speed days to what it is now?
I'm going to try to shorten this up, but, you know, it goes way back to Humpy Wheeler being a showman. And then, you know, Humpy leaves and, you know, Bruton is a showman. And they, SMI, totally understood that we had to have more than a race. You know, you had, you know, back in the day, you had, you know, all the shows before the Coke 600, right? The bus jumping over and, you know, exploding. You know, the midway is so important behind the grandstands. And now Marcus Smith is in charge, and Marcus has watched this, you know. And Marcus Smith, you know, when Fox got rid of Speed Channel and they started FS1, well, then Fox said, okay, we're going to take NASCAR Race Day. You know, it was fueled by Sunoco at the end, but before that, it was NASCAR Race Day by the Home Depot. You know, we had you can ask anybody. You'd go to Texas Motor Speedway. You'd go to Bristol, and there was 5,000 people. 5,000 people for that show. Well, they shut it down cold turkey, and they said, we're done. We're not on the road anymore. And it destroyed the sport. Destroyed it. Then you bring in COVID, and it was like you were behind the grandstands going, hey, and there was nobody around. Marcus was the first one to know this. He called me up right away. Herman, can you come back? I want to fire this deal back up on a Saturday night. And I said, Marcus, I said, look, you know, I just left Charlotte. I don't want to come back and do that. I'm burnt out on NASCAR. And we ain't going to get nobody after an Xfinity race. Well, then Bristol Motor Speedway called me about, oh, I don't know, you know, years later, 3 years later. And he said, hey, we got dirt on this track and we want you to be the ambassador. And I knew it was going to be the last dirt race. I knew it was going to be the last dirt race at Bristol. And they were real awesome. And they're like, hey, can you come back and, you know, kind of help us promote the last dirt race? But we weren't going to say it was the last dirt race. Food City, the whole deal. And also, by the way, we want you to do that show. And I said, oh, damn, okay. This is a whole different deal. So I said, well, we got to call Johnny. And then let's fast forward now. We do it on a whim. I mean, on a whim, like we're on an old rinkety stage. You know, we're using the Food City 500, just old junky stage. And the next thing that happened had Marcus and everybody, our jaws were dropped. There it was, 5,000 people. I took the picture so I could remind myself. It was crazy. And then, I mean, the show's over. And Marcus says, hey, let's do this. Let's do this. And I'm like, hey, this is exciting. And so we quickly said, he said 10 races. I said, oh, Marcus, 6. So we zoomed in on 8. And then we ran to the infield media center with Marcus. And we just announced it on a whim. But you got to give Marcus all the credit because he knew that we needed to get that midway going again, especially after COVID. And now NASCAR and, you know, their ISC tracks, you know, they got it going on, but they just don't, you know, it's okay. But the SMI one just kicks total butt. It's awesome.
All right, Kenny, who's on the stage with you?
Well, it's John Roberts. And Johnny is, you know, he's really good at what he does. And then Wendy Venturini is on there. And so that really makes it work. It's kind of old school.
All right. Love that. Last question here. By the way, thanks a lot for the time. Kenny's drinking out of his Sunoco coffee mug because they sponsor Coffee with Kenny. Just
There it is.
I caught your earlier Sunoco reference, by the way. Well done. You still have your driver's mentality for dropping sponsors in, so. Glad you have lost that.
Hey, quickly now, you know, people say, you make any money doing all that social media? I said, oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
You're not doing it because you're so beautiful. All right, last thing. You had your brother Mike on a few weeks ago to make a big announcement that at age 65, he's going to be in a car and attempt to make the Daytona 500. Quickly, your thoughts about Big Brother coming back in a big way.
Mike needed to do this. You know, Mike's wife died of ovarian cancer, and Mike is not in a good spot right now. He is sad, and he literally, and I got my pulse on my brother Mike, and he told Rusty, and Rusty said, Mike, I'd do it too, but my eyes aren't good enough. Kenny Schrader said, I'd like to do it too. And so we're like, Mike, we're behind you. Get it out of your system. He ain't going to hurt a soul. He ain't going to hurt anybody. So listen, whether he makes the race or not, it's a journey just to get there and make that qualifying lap.
Well, I learned a long time ago, back when I had my own little bout with cancer, to tell people that you love them, because you never know when will be the last time. We love you, Kenny. Thanks for being on.
I love you, too. And I'll see you guys at the races.
All right, Kenny Wallace, check him out. He's all over everywhere. He's easy to find. All right, we'll get back and talk about more of these NASCAR rule changes after this.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Down south, there's a place where moments are made at 180 miles per hour, where the thrills give you chills that are second to none. And at every turn, anything can and will happen fast. Some say it's just a NASCAR race, but it's Fastlanta, America's destination for acceleration, home of full-throttle throwdowns, partying into the night, and unbelievable photo finishes. NASCAR returns to Atlanta Motor Speedway for the Ambetter Health 400, February 21st through 23rd. Get tickets now at AtlantaMotorSpeedway.com.
I'm Denny Hamlin, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together.
Here's Christopher Bell.
My Toyota Camry TRD race car isn't cheap to build and prepare. I have a pit crew that maintains and fixes my equipment. I have a spotter high above the track watching my back, talking me through turns and potential dangers on the track. I physically train to handle the stress of driving. And I have software helping my crew chief and engineers make the right strategy calls. And with all this, I never take my eyes off the road, and neither should you. One distraction can change everything in one instant.
We hope you enjoyed our time with Kenny Wallace as much as we did, and I applaud Kenny. He has moved from a very successful racing career, broadcasting career, into his own social media time. I mean, he's touched it all, Alexis.
Well, it just shows how, you know, you can, I don't want to say start over, because he certainly didn't start over, but what his life is now compared to when he was racing is two totally different successful endeavors. And that's, you know, that should be applauded.
And Brad, I know you know Kenny really well. You guys spent a lot of time together over on Sirius XM, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Together we worked for a couple of years doing the late shift, which was a lot of fun. And just knowing Kenny, here's the great thing about him. He's very sincere. You know, what you see from Kenny, he's not putting on an act. It's Kenny. And this is just who he is. And it's a really great thing, because his heart is always true in what he means and what he talks about. And he's not afraid. He doesn't. If he has an opinion, he's going to tell you. You don't have to like it, but that's okay. He's going to respect your opinion, too, even if he doesn't like that.
Brad, I want to get back to some of these rule changes here that NASCAR announced. We spent a lot of time about the open exemption provisional, but it feels to me like they have basically gutted the damaged vehicle policy that put a time limit on how much time you had to work on your car.
Yeah, I feel like what they changed is like a step in where we might eventually be, because we saw a few incidents last year. Alexis brought this up before the show. Josh Berry got towed through the campgrounds at Watkins Glen. We had Talladega where there was a red flag and some cars got towed back to their pit box where some were still stopped on the track under the red flag, and then the red flag gets lifted. You got cars here, you got cars there. So basically what NASCAR has done now has said that we did have a 7-minute damaged vehicle policy clock. If you could not get your car repaired on pit road during that 7-minute time, you were out of the race. And it made sense because we did not see cars get back out onto the track that were just torn up, that had the fenders pulled off of them and all of that like we used to see. Well, now NASCAR says you can go back to the garage or you can go back and be on the 7-minute clock. And if you don't fix your car within the 7 minutes, you have to go back to the garage. So we're going to see opportunities for cars to be repaired. I think where this really comes into play in a big way are the speedway events: Daytona, Atlanta, Talladega. Those are the events where we see mass car pileups that might not be able to get fixed within that 7 minutes, but you can get them fixed and really improve your starting position, especially considering how many cautions we have on tracks like these. So I like it. I applaud it. I still like that NASCAR says you have one chance to make minimum speed after your repairs. If you can't do it, then you're out of the race. I think this finds somewhat of a happy medium between where we were when we used to have cars go back out onto the racetrack with parts falling off of them to where we can be, where we have cars that are repaired, safe for racing, and people are able to advance positions. We know every single point counts in this series.
I'm not sure I have much to add to that. Yeah. That was an exemplary explanation of why I think this is a good thing.
Alexis, they've also talked about race manipulation. They're not going to put up with the shenanigans that we saw at Martinsville, where two drivers got in front of another driver, slowed down, blocked the racetrack, and basically were rigging the outcome of the race so a Chevrolet would win. And they've said, we're not going to tolerate this anymore. I applaud that as much as Brad applauds the other one.
Yeah, 1,000%. You know, the actual verbiage in the bulletin says verbiage around the 100% rule is replaced with a focus on quote unquote manipulating the outcome of an event and championship. And I think the one thing too that is kind of a subpart B to that is that now the OEMs can be penalized in a way, because if you think back to what happened at Martinsville, a lot of it had to do with, certain manufacturers, drivers trying to do things to make sure that their manufacturer cars got into the playoffs. And there wasn't a mechanism to penalize these OEMs before. But now, in this new bulletin, it says violations by the OEM may result in manufacturer loss of points, wind tunnel hours, and a few other things as well. So having the opportunity and the ability to penalize these OEMs, I think, is going to help a lot with that manipulation as well.
Brad Gilley, do you think we will see the day that NASCAR actually penalizes these original equipment manufacturers? They're in bed with them.
All right. How about this? I hope we don't ever see that day.
Okay.
I hope there is not an instance where we go back and look at it and say, hey, this manufacturer got all of their teams together to influence the outcome of the race in a negative way. I hope that doesn't happen. But if it does, I do feel like NASCAR will act. And you might look at it and say, so what if they lose wind tunnel time? Well, the manufacturers are the only people who get wind tunnel time now. So if they have their 150 hours per year, whatever the rule is right now, and they start to lose some of that, that affects every single one of their teams. Hendrick can't go to the wind tunnel. Penske can't go to the wind tunnel. Gibbs can't go to the wind tunnel. They need Chevrolet, Ford, and Toyota to do that for them. And then the computational fluid dynamics, they literally limit the amount of time that engineers can spend on computers designing aero parts and pieces and manipulations and all of that, the things that they normally do within the rulebook to the race cars. If they take away that time, that's pretty valuable to the manufacturers. So hopefully this has enough teeth in the rule, but honestly, I really hope just the spirit of it all and what we saw last year. Everyone gets together and says, okay, we don't need this. This is not healthy for competitive sports.
Got to say, Alexis, I've seen a lot of bulletins come down from NASCAR. This was one of the more meaty and chewy ones we've ever seen.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we have to also talk about the playoff waiver as well. You know, the way that it reads, if a playoff waiver is granted for missing a race, the driver will forfeit all current and future playoff points unless it is a medical waiver. So you think back to the most recent version of this would have been Kyle Larson missing the Coca-Cola 600 due to Indianapolis's rain delay last year, which would mean that he would have lost all and any future playoff points, and he would have started the playoffs at an even 2,000 points, which I think is a big deal.
If we see that play out again.
If we see, I mean, these, well, right.
These
sure.
are all exceptional
they're all
rules.
They're all ifs.
And,
yes.
And they're all things that could happen. But the one thing I have found out in my time watching NASCAR, if it can, it eventually
sure.
will happen. The driver will find the piece of wall at a racetrack that doesn't have a safer barrier on it and run into it.
I think every single one of these bulletins we received this year was a reaction from something that transpired in 2024, hands down.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, here's the other thing, too. A couple of years ago, Chase Elliott right-hooked Denny Hamlin in the Coca-Cola 600 and was suspended from the race at Gateway. Okay? This only says that you're only going to get to keep your playoffs points either through a medical waiver or an age restriction waiver, meaning a driver is too young to run in a series, but they start four or five races in. I read this as if a driver gets suspended from NASCAR, then they're going to, if they get the playoffs waiver, they still lose all of their playoffs points. So you go late in the season, and all of a sudden we see something happen where someone gets suspended, say, race 24 of the year or whatever. Can you imagine losing a whole season's worth of playoffs points? I like that part of it.
That's a great point.
I'm all aboard with that. You mentioned Chase Elliott. Let's do it right now.
Okay.
I'm not gonna hold this after the break. So it was announced recently that Chase Elliott has a new three-race sponsor for next year. They're replacing Hooters. Hooters is under a lot of pressure. They're not performing well, so they dropped out of their little three-race sponsorship. And by the way, they ran one of the poorest connection promos. Win a chicken wing if he races, and you've got to do all of these other things. The model for that interaction is Outback.
Yes.
Outback, you didn't have to sign up for anything. Kevin Harvick wins a race. You go in on Monday and say, give me
Kevin
my blooming onion.
Yep, absolutely.
And it was a and they ran through millions of blooming onions, which cost them like a nickel.
Right.
And it was a great promotion. The Hooters promotion with Chase was terribly executed. I don't think anybody ever got a chicken wing out of it. But Hooters is out. That's not what I'm talking about. Chase Elliott's going to be sponsored next year, 2025, this year, by Prime Video, because
yep.
they're involved in NASCAR in a big way.
It would have been a lot more interesting if it was Netflix because of the fact that he didn't want to be a part of the Netflix documentary. But it is interesting. I mean, obviously, huge deal for him, huge deal for Amazon wanting to promote the fact that they're going to be a part, of the new television package that starts this season. But you're right. I mean, obviously the most popular driver, but one who has kind of shied away from the limelight a little bit.
That's where I was going with Brad. I find it highly ironic that a company, Prime Video, Paramount, however you want to say it, sponsoring him for three races to a guy that openly told Netflix, no, I don't want your cameras around me.
Yeah,
there's irony there.
You will see Chase Elliott on Prime because they're going to be the ones carrying the races and they're going to be the ones carrying a lot of qualifying shows. I guess we don't have to worry about, unless they're doing some of that, what they call over-the-top programming where they have behind-the-scenes shows, and then he may not want to be a part of that. Who knows? But the fact of the matter is, I go on Amazon today and I see a big ad right there in front of me for the next NFL game. Just like I expect to go onto Amazon here in a few months and see an ad for qualifying for Atlanta or qualifying for Las Vegas to the Coca-Cola 600 is going to be on Amazon Prime. This is a good thing. This is where our viewership is going, or at least in one of the directions that viewership is going. And NASCAR has positioned themselves, in my opinion, in a really good way to capitalize. I love the fact that now, doesn't matter where you are, if you are connected, you're going to get to see not only races that are streamed for a certain part of the schedule, but you're going to get to see qualifying events all year long. Those were a lot of things that were missed, by a lot of different outlets and a lot of different race fans. So I like the idea, and hey, look, look, if you're going to have NASCAR races on your channel, your network, your stream, whatever it is, you might as well promote to that audience that you're going to have it.
Streaming is not the future. Streaming is the now. We'll take a break. Be right back.
Attention, men. Here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now.
800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. That's 800-475-8167.
I'm Alex Bowman, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Racing country, music from the fast lane.
Hey, it's Kathy Martindale and Paul Shadd on Racing Country.
Hi, I'm Christopher Bell, and this is the fastest 2 hours on the radio, Racing Country. I still have a lot to prove to compete at the level that I want to compete at. We have more to accomplish in the sport, and we want to do better than what we've done the last 2 years.
Racing country, music from the fast lane.
The grassroots is where the hometown heroes of Friday and Saturday nights are and where the future stars of NASCAR are made.
First career win for James Friesen of the TAS Racing Sportsman Series.
PRN's At the Track is a people show about the people of grassroots racing. The stories and journeys from the grassroots are always unique. PRN's At the Track covers the people of America's fattest bull rings. Hear PRN's At the Track each week on broadcast radio stations, the free PRN app, or at goprn.com.
It's Fast Talk. We're going to do a little obtuse here in this last segment. We got a couple of minutes. It's usually when we do one last thing, and this is kind of our one last thing. It's actually a question that I pirated off Facebook from our good friend Anita Gooden that worked a couple of races with us at Kentucky Speedway.
Mm-hmm.
She posted this and got people's response. What is the one thing you remember your dad telling you over and over again? Brad, I'm going to give you a little chance to muse on that, because I told Alexis during the break, this is going to be... What's one phrase or something that your dad said to you all the time, Alexis?
Well, you know, I'm sure he might even be watching. I'm sure my mother is watching. But when you asked me that, immediately the first thing that popped into my head was, go ask your mother. Because whenever I would ask him for something, that was always his response. Go ask your mother.
He would cop to the go ask your mother,
yep,
gamut.
Go ask your mother. And
you know
I
what?
Would... You know,
that's a safe one.
That is really
safe, and you can seldom go wrong with that. Dad told you what over and over again, Brad Gilley?
Don't touch the thermostat. You know how much this is costing me? That was it. And I understand.
Yeah.
Where was the thermostat at the Gilley house? What did it sit on?
Oh, gosh. When I was growing up, I want to say it was somewhere at the top of the stairs.
What was it sat on? What was the temp?
Honestly, I don't know, because I didn't touch it.
You were a good listener.
That's good.
That's right.
And that was probably one of the old ones before we had digital readouts on the thermostats. And I mean, we had one of the little mercury ones at our house just until a couple of years ago to where the furnace replaced. My dad was famous, and I did not know what it meant when he told me, get out of my light.
Mm.
Meaning he would be reading the newspaper and I would come over to say something to him. And his immediate response, if I ask a question, was, get out of my light. I'm going, what does that have to do with anything? And it means I got between him and his light so he couldn't read the newspaper. I found that out when I said it to my daughter when she was 10, and it just came out of my mouth, and I went, oh, my Lord, that's what it means. Thanks a lot to everybody that helped put this show together. Special big thanks to Kenny Wallace for being an extended guest today. You know what? We'll regroup, and we'll be back next week right here, and we'll have a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. And Sunoco. Whether you're heading to the track or just hitting the road, fill up with Sunoco Ultratech. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.